Hello, Open Door Church family. This is the day the Lord has made, and we want to rejoice in it and give him the glory and the praise. Give God the glory and the praise for everything good that he is doing in our hearts and lives. We thank him for answered prayer in our lives this week. Let's have a word of prayer at this time and ask him to direct our time in his word in a way that will glorify him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your goodness to us and giving us and breathing out to us your word. We thank you for your holy scriptures that guide us and that, as we look this morning, are given to us for a purpose. We thank you for the power that is available through your word. And so I pray that as we look into your word this morning, you'll help my words to be pleasing to you and to be accurate to your text, as I pray every week. I pray that the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing and acceptable to you. We thank you, Lord, for how you have shown yourself strong to our church family this past week. We thank you for answered prayer in regards to different surgeries and different medical visits that have taken place. We thank you for continuing to give us wisdom and giving our country's leaders wisdom in both our federal government and our state government and our local government. We pray you continue to help us to have wisdom as we respond and react to the opportunities that we see in our news, in our government. Father, I pray that you will help us as a church family and as church leaders to continue to be patient, continue to trust your timing. We pray that you would help us to gather again soon, and it could be sooner than we think. We pray for us to be able to gather together in person, corporately for worship. We thank you for this Memorial Day weekend as we think of our men and women who have many given their lives and our military to help preserve and protect the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. I pray that we would not take this Memorial Day lightly, but I pray that we would take time to thank you for our freedoms and to thank those men and women who serve in our military and to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. And so we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the reminder we have as well tomorrow, Memorial Day, for our men and women who have given their life in our place. We all ultimately thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given the ultimate sacrifice as he laid his life down in our place so that we could have eternal life. And we thank you for his resurrection from the grave so that we can worship you today in spirit and in truth. We pray that as we look into your word, this time would be a special time for us to focus our hearts, our minds, our attention on the truth of your word. Pray that you would help us to obey it as you would like us to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I do want to wish you a happy Memorial Day weekend. And I know that when we first began this time of quarantine, I didn't honestly think that we would still be apart from one another on this Memorial Day. We had plans to meet with Tom and Carol Phillips today to have a special service with them, thanking God for their ministry. And we will definitely, Lord willing, have that take place. It's obviously not happening today, but that will take place down the road as we've been able to communicate with the Phillips. Lord willing, we will be able to set a date soon and be able to connect with them and thank them for their many years of gospel ministry in the islands of Chuuk and Micronesia. This morning, we are going to come back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will be looking at the last couple verses in chapter 3. So I'd encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We will be focusing on verses 16 and 17 this morning. We will actually be doing a part one of a sermon this morning. Lord willing, next Sunday, we will be looking again at verses 16 and 17 and having a part two to this message. But we will be looking this Sunday and, Lord willing, next Sunday at the awesome authority of God's word. We spent time on Wednesday evening looking at verses 14 and 15, and we will read those in a moment to help with the context of verses 16 and 17. But as we think of the authority of God's word and the awesome authority of God's word, I just want to take a moment to say I don't use that word awesome very often. I think in my teen years, I used to use that word more frequently, as maybe it was a word that floated around a lot more then in the 90s. But the word awesome means worthy of awe. And there are only, I believe, really one person that is worthy of our awe, and that is ultimately our Creator God. And We thank the Lord for our triune God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. He is truly awesome, and we give him the praise and glory. So when we think of his authority, we would say his authority is awesome. It is worthy of our awe, worthy of our acceptance. And we will see that as we look at his word, that God's word is our ultimate authority, must be our ultimate authority. That will be the big idea we come to this morning. God's word must be your ultimate authority, must be my ultimate authority in life. As we have been looking at 2 Timothy, we have seen the Apostle Paul continually focusing Timothy back to the authority of God's word and the importance of God's word. And we saw that clearly on Wednesday as we looked at verses 14 and 15. And so we'd like to begin by reading, starting in verse 14 and reading down through the end of the chapter. Please follow along as I read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good word." We see that God wants us to be competent, to be equipped, to be complete, equipped for every good work. And so it's important for us to understand as believers that God's word is our ultimate authority. At Open Door Bible Church, we have made that very clear in the name of Open Door Bible Church. God's word, the Bible, is the authority for Open Door Bible Church. It is the foundation on which Open Door Bible Church is based. Jesus Christ as the living word of God and God's word in the flesh is our foundation. And God's written word, his spoken word, his revealed word, that is our authority and our foundation. The big idea that we must walk away from God's word with today, I would have for us, the proposition for us today and also next week, and really for every day of our lives, is this: God's word must be your ultimate authority. God's word must be our ultimate authority. When we look at verses 16 and 17, we see that Paul is continuing this exhortation that began in verse 14 for Timothy to continue in what he has learned and firmly believed. And the foundation for what Timothy believed as a Christian was the word of God, the sacred writings, the holy scriptures in verse 15. And then Paul makes a statement here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, all scripture in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Next week, we'll look at the last part of verse 16 and 17 that talk about what God's word is profitable and what it is valuable, is priceless, and what it will do through the power of God in our lives if we will submit to God's word, let it be our authority in our lives, and let it teach us, instruct us, reprove us, correct us, and train us in righteousness. This morning, we're going to look at two reasons why God's word is awesome in its authority, and that will hopefully compel us, encourage us to make God's word the ultimate authority in our lives. First of all, this morning, I would like us to see that God's word, and we can see this clearly from the text of scripture in verse 16, that God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine source. God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine source. And you see source as a capital S, because God is the source of the Holy Bible, of his word. We see in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. We will look at that word breathed out in just a moment. But I want us to see clearly, and though this may seem obvious when we say the Bible is God's word, when the scriptures are God's word, this may seem obvious, but it is very, very important that we understand that God is the source of his word. This means a number of things, and we're going to look at them briefly. Four clear things this means when we say that God is the source of his word. One, because God is the source, and because God himself is eternal, this means that God's word is eternal and unchanging. We see this throughout Scripture, and we don't have time to look at every passage of Scripture. I would encourage you, if you have time sometime this week, to look at and read through God's word and find those passages of Scripture that talk about the eternality of God's word, that it will endure forever. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 is one that jumps out clearly in my mind. Isaiah 40, verse 8 tells us that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Psalm 119, verse 89 reminds us and rejoices in the fact that forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Later down in verse 160 of Psalm 119, the sum or the total of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. We see that word forever in each of those passages. The word of our God will stand forever. Your word, O Lord, forever is firmly fixed in the heavens. Every one of God's righteous rules and word endures forever. It's important that we understand that because God is the source, the divine source of his word, that his word is eternal and it is unchanging. Just as God never changes, so his word never changes. His word never is diluted by one element in its authority over time. In fact, God's word continues to endure over time, and for all eternity, God's word will endure and will never change. Our world will change, we will change, but God's word will never change. Secondly, because God is the source of his word, we must understand that God's word is absolutely and totally true. We use this word many times, inerrant. We believe that God's word, the Bible, his scriptures, holy scriptures, are inerrant, without error. They are true from beginning in Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation. God's word is absolutely and totally true. We see, again, many references to this, and this is not, this makes sense because of who God is. God's word will never detour from God's character. And God himself is the source of all truth, and his word is absolutely and totally true. We just read Psalm 119, verse 60. I'll look at that first part of that verse. The sum of all your word is truth. When you take God's word and you put it all together, you see that it is true in every part, every facet of its content, because God is the source of truth. He is truth, and his word is truth. We remember in John chapter 17, verse 7, that Jesus says, sanctify. He prays that God would sanctify his church through his word, because God's word is truth. So we see that God's word is eternal and unchanging. It is absolutely and totally true. It is far different than anything else this world has to offer. And that leads us to this third reality. Because God is the source of his word, God's word is holy and separate from human origin. This is why God's word is awesome. It is worthy of awe. It is worthy of glory. It is awesome in its authority, because God is the source, divine source of his word. God's word is holy and separate. Just as God is holy and separate from his creation, so also God is holy. God's word is holy and separate from human origin. We are reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it's very clear that Paul makes the point through the Holy Spirit that all scripture is breathed out by God. It is given to us by God. God is the source. But also, God's word is holy. It is separate. It is distinct. It is far different than any other human devised book. God's word is not created by human hands. It is created by God eternal, our creator God. It has been sent by God to man. It is of no human creation, but is fully created and sourced in God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, down through verse 21 is a wonderful passage of scripture. We don't have time to walk through all of this, and we won't this morning. But in verse 16, Peter makes the statement that he says, we did not follow cleverly devised myths
when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 19, he says, we have something more sure than even Peter's eyewitness account of Christ. He says, there's something even more sure than my eyewitness account. It is the word of God. Verse 19, we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Verse 20, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, Peter quotes from the Old Testament. He makes a statement that the Old Testament scriptures and the Old Testament prophecies, as they were delivered by humans to humans, they were originated in God. He is the source of this true word that he gave his prophets in the Old Testament, the authority to share with this world. No prophecy has been produced by the will of man, Peter says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along, or we could say inspired by the Holy Spirit. So God's word is holy and separate. It is absolutely and totally true. It is eternal and unchanging. And quickly forth, we see that because God is the divine source of his holy word, God's word forth is the source of life and is itself living and alive. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. God is rehearsing to his people how for 40 years he led them through the wilderness journey and how he provided manna for them. You remember when God sent manna down from heaven and there would be this fresh, small pieces of manna, this heavenly bread, God called it, that he would feed the Israelites with every morning, and it would sustain them through those 40 years. In verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8, he reminds them and says, and God humbled you and let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What is the source of our life? It is not bread. It is the word of God. Just as God said in Genesis 1:2, let there be light, and there was light. And God created all things. He created life as we know it on earth by the word of his power. So Moses is saying here in Deuteronomy, through God speaking to Moses, he is telling us that we live not by bread, but by the word of God. That alone is what gives us life. Matthew 4:4, Jesus quoted this when tempted by Satan, and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Again, quoting from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. It's interesting when we get to Deuteronomy chapter 32, we see that Moses is given a song by God. He's given a word of God by God to share with the people of Israel that they must memorize and they must continue to pass on to their generations. We see in verse 44, Moses came and recited all the words of the song in the hearing of the people. Verse 45, when Moses had finished all these words that God had given him to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law, the word of God. Verse 47, for it is no empty word for you. That word empty means pointless or vain. It is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word, you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. He's telling the people of Israel, as you head into the promised land, don't ever for a minute think that you can sustain yourself. You need the living word of God, and this is what God has given you. So learn it, memorize it, meditate on it, obey it. God's word is living and is itself the source of life, and it is alive. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and is discerning of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We realize that one day all will stand before God. It says in verse 13, no creature is hidden from the sight of God, but all are naked and exposed, open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God is our creator. He is our ultimate authority. He is the one we must worship, and he has given us his word as well. And his word is awesome in its authority because God is the source of his word. But secondly, we see that not only is God's word awesome in its authority because of its divine source, but secondly, God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine inspiration. Because God's word is breathed out by him, divinely inspired and given to us by God, we must make God's word our ultimate authority. We don't have time this morning to delve into the entire doctrine, the beautiful truth and doctrine of inspiration, but we'll touch quickly on it this morning. But when we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and notice it said that man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus says from the mouth of God in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Coming back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says all scripture is breathed out by God. That word breathed out is only used here in the New Testament. The one time it's used in all the New Testament, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, saved it for this particular verse. One commentary I read said this verse, verse 16, makes the most amazing statement about scripture in all of God's word. It says that God's word, the Old Testament, and as Paul's writing here in the New Testament, all scripture, all of God's written word, this word scripture is graphe, the written word of God. All of God's written word is breathed out by God. All scripture, all of God's word is breathed out by him. This word breathed out is the Greek word theonoustos. It is a compound word, theos, God, and noustos, breath. It is the very breath of God, breathed out by him to us. This means that every special revelation of God's word is divinely breathed out by God. We must understand, and we've said this before in Sunday school, and you've heard this before at Open Door Bible Church, so I won't belabor the point, but there is a big difference between what we call general revelation and special revelation. God reveals himself generally or normally through what we see in creation. We look outside and we see the beautiful sunshine, or we see the rain coming down. We see what God has created in this world. And we realize as we look at the stars, we look at the sun, we look at the moon, we look at all these amazing things. We look at humanity itself and we realize that it couldn't happen by accident. It couldn't happen by chance like evolution teaches and the false theories of evolution. We look at God's this creation and realize there had to be a designer. There had to be a God, a creator who made all of this. It couldn't happen by an explosion or a big bang. Something created this world, and that draws us to realize that there is a God and there is a higher authority than us. But general revelation cannot save us from our sins. All general revelation can do is show us that we are not God, but there is a greater God, a greater creator who made all things. But that's not enough to save us. That's only enough to really condemn us and show us our need to have a right relationship with this creator God. And that is why God gives us what we call special revelation. And God has revealed his word to us through special revelation in various ways. We see that God has directly spoken his word. We see that throughout scripture. We see that in Genesis 1:2, where God directly says, "Let there be light." That is God's word that is breathed out and is special revelation. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, God will give direct revelation, direct commands to Adam and Eve. He tells them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and to take care of God's creation that God has given them. And he gives clear commands by word directly to human beings. God does this throughout scripture. We'll see prophets such as Elijah and Isaiah or Daniel, and the Lord will speak directly to them with a message for them to relay to others. And that brings us to another way that God reveals his special revelation. He reveals it through directly speaking the word, like he did to Job and to many other people. But he also reveals his word through relayed word or through prophesied word, how God relays his word, and as his word is preached, it is declared, it is orally transmitted by God's preachers and prophets throughout scripture. We read that in 2 Peter chapter 1, that these prophets did not speak something they made up, but it was given to them by God's Holy Spirit. We see that God, the greatest demonstration, the greatest revelation of God's word, was when Jesus Christ himself, the God the Son, himself came as the living word. In John chapter 1, we realize that the Apostle John tells us, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and he tells us that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. When Jesus Christ came into this earth, the Son of God took upon him the name Jesus. He took upon him human flesh, and God's word became incarnate, took on flesh. That is the greatest revelation of God's word that has ever happened. And yet God has also given us his written word. And this is all of these aspects of God's word are eternal. And God has given us his written word. Later on, Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4, which talks about all scripture that has been written in the past is for our benefit and for God's purpose. And next week, we'll look at why God has breathed out his word to us. But here, Paul is looking specifically at God's written word in chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture, all graphe, all written word of God is breathed out by him. So what does this mean? Very quickly, this means several things. One, when we say God's word, when scripture tells us that God's word is breathed out by him, this means that God, not man, is the author of his word. And that makes sense because he's the divine source and is breathed out by him. God, not man, is the author of his word. Although Peter and Paul and Isaiah and many other men of God were used to record and to write down God's word, they weren't the authors. Paul was very clear to say, this gospel that I share about Jesus, I didn't make this up. It was given to me by the Lord. Secondly, this means when we say, when God scriptures tells us that God's word is breathed out by God, it means that human writers were not robotic in their writing of God's word, but were miraculously inspired, or we could say carried along by the Holy Spirit as they obeyed his desire for them to write and to record within their own personal writing styles and cultural backgrounds. There's a lot in that statement. We don't have time to delve into all of that. But we understand that when Paul was writing, he was not just a robot or someone just recording all just robotically writing, but God allowed him through the miraculous work of inspiration, through the Holy Spirit leading Paul to write, but also Paul was able to use words that he had learned and words that were unique to his own cultural background. And when you look at Paul's writings versus Peter's writings versus Luke's writings versus Moses' writings, there are cultural backgrounds and cultural influences that God miraculously uses to guide us to understand his word and to give us his word. It's a beautiful, amazing miracle of inspiration. And by inspiration, we mean the Holy Spirit speaking his truth to men and men accurately, without error, recording God's divine word. So God is the author of this word. It's breathed out by him. And he miraculously inspired human authors, or I should say human writers, to record and to write God's word, but also containing their own personal, unique personalities and cultural backgrounds within that word that was recorded. But thirdly, and I think this is a beautiful reminder to us, when Paul says that he used the word that all scripture is breathed out, God breathed, this means that God's word carries an intimate, relational message from God to humanity. When you think of having a conversation with someone and you are in the proximity where you can even feel their breath, now we aren't doing that right now with social distancing, but when you have a very close relationship with someone, you can have a conversation face to face, and as if God, as he breathes out his word to us, he is doing this in an intimate relational setting with his creation, with mankind whom is created in his image. He's given us a very close, loving, intimate message that we must hear and we must obey. We must make our ultimate authority. And this leads us to this fourth reality. Again, this means that God's word carries an authoritative message from God to humanity. We must make God's word our ultimate authority. We can go on and we will next week. But this is what I would say to us this morning. I believe what God's word is saying is to us this morning. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's saying, you, Timothy, must make God's word your ultimate authority. Not what Paul says, not what Peter says, but what God says. We need this message more than ever. It's not what government says, it's what God says. But also God tells us in his word how we respond to government. It has been so sad for me to see so many Christians who love the Lord, but have become very arrogant, very proud, very, I would say, misguided in the way that they are interpreting Scripture, because they're using Scripture to say what they want to say rather than what God has told us to say and how to do and how to live. We must be careful not to take one verse of Scripture and use that to prove our point, or proof text, as it might be called, and to the detriment of saying, here's the whole counsel of God. That's why at Open Door Bible Church, I pray that we will always be faithful, whether it's me preaching in the pulpit or one of our elders preaching in the pulpit or those teaching in our Sunday school classes, that we uphold the authority of God's word, not the authority of a denomination or the authority of a pastor or the authority of some synod or the authority of anything other than God's word. God's word alone must be our ultimate authority, and that means that we must be very biblical in the way that we live our lives and the decisions we make, the thoughts that we think. And this is foreign to us as human beings, because we want to go our own way. We want to go with our own worldly desires. But God says, no, I must arrest your attention and teach you the right way. I want to transform the way you think. And next week, we'll look at the purposes that God's word has, as we see that in the end of verse 16 and 17, the power that God's word has to do his work in our lives, to change the way we think. As we start just this first part of verse 16, we must realize that God's word is awesome in its authority because of its divine source, which is God. And God's word is awesome in its authority because it is divinely inspired, because it is breathed out by God. And so we must make God's word our ultimate authority. As we close this morning, and it's kind of weird to close halfway in the middle of part one of a message, but we have to close this morning. So I want to close with these couple words of application. One, I would say, if God's word is your ultimate authority, you will thank God, we will thank God for his all-sufficient, God-breathed word. We must be thankful every day that God in his grace has opened our eyes to not only receive and be aware of his word, but to understand it and to believe it. Thank God for his all-sufficient, God-breathed word. He did not have to send us his word. He did not, after Adam and Eve sinned, he didn't have to talk to us ever again. But he loves us because he's created us for his glory. And he wants to redeem us and change the way we think and live so that we will believe in Jesus and be saved and worship him forever. We would not be able to do that if we're not for the word of God. Remember Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is our life. Thank God for his word. You may say, well, how do I know, Pastor Sam, if I'm really making God's word my ultimate authority in life? Well, do you thank him for it? Live in thankfulness. Live with thankfulness to God for his sufficient, all-sufficient, God-breathed word. Secondly, if God's word is your ultimate authority, then you will read God's word and strive to meditate on its truth. I want to encourage you, more than anything else you do every day, be in the word of God. Read his word, listen to his word, hear his word. Just as Christ said, if you have ears to hear, listen to my word. Jesus Christ says often in the gospel accounts that only those who hear and obey his word will be his people, will be his church. Read God's word and strive to meditate on its truth. Why? Because God's word must be your ultimate authority. Then we need to ask God for several things. Ask God as you read his word and as you thank him for his word, ask him to help you clearly understand his word, and he will answer that prayer. The worst thing that can happen is we read God's word and we don't accurately, correctly understand it. Pray for God to help you understand his word as you read and meditate on it. I want to go back to that second thought of application. I said that we must strive to meditate on his word. That word strive means to fight for. Recently, Sarah and I were just talking about our family and about, you know, our marriage and how our marriages today, Christian marriages, are under attack from Satan because he wants to destroy the family. And Sarah, she just made this wonderful statement that she wants to fight for our marriage, and I want to fight for our marriage. fight to preserve it, to protect it, to make sure it's one that glorifies God. And we want to fight for our family. We need to, as believers, the only way we're going to be able to do that is we must strive and fight for our hearts to meditate on God's truth in a world that is telling us, look over here, be distracted here, listen to this news outlet, listen to this information. And we're bombarded with lots of information, but much of it is not true. We must allow our lives to be bombarded and to be infiltrated with the word of truth, God's word. And that takes action on our part, obedience and striving and fighting, making time to be in God's word. And as we do, we must ask God to help us clearly understand his word. And we must also ask God to help us believe and obey his word. So thank God for his word. Read and meditate on his word. Ask him to help you understand it. And fourthly, ask God to help you believe and obey his word. If we understand God's word, what he's clearly telling us to do, but we don't believe it's true and obey it, then we will fall short of the glory of God. So ask God to help you believe and obey his word as you make it your ultimate authority in life. Fifth, don't keep this truth to yourself, but tell others. Tell others about what God is teaching you through his word. Where does this start? It starts at home. It starts at home. Husbands, tell your wives what God's teaching you through his word. Wives, tell your husbands, and then husbands and wives, tell your family. If you have children, tell them what God's teaching you. Be transparent about what God's teaching you. Be open with telling you, hey, God's been showing me that I need to work on this in my life. Or God just showed me this wonderful truth, reminded me of this wonderful truth about who he is and what he's done, what he's promised to do in our lives. Tell your neighbors. Tell your coworkers. Tell your brothers and sisters in Christ. But it starts at home. And then lastly, I would say, ask God to help all these things become a daily reality in your life. I'm not naive enough to think that every person who attends Open Door Bible Church reads their Bible every day. I know many don't. And it breaks my heart. But the reality is, if we would be a healthy church, if we would be a growing church, then we not only need to read God's word each day, but we need to meditate on it, believe it, obey it, tell it to others. If we do this, we will be a healthy church. We're all focused on health, physical health these days, and rightly so. But even more than physical health, we need to focus on the spiritual health of our own lives. And that starts with making God's word our ultimate authority. So I encourage you today, read the word of God, meditate on the word of God, make it your ultimate authority. And as you pray, ask God to help you make this a daily reality. And he will. Does it take hard work? Yes. Does it take commitment? Yes. Does it take sometimes encouraging prodding from other brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes. But may we ask God to do that work in our heart, and he will, if we have hearts of faith ready to obey him. So may God help us by his grace to make his word our ultimate authority. He is the divine source of his word. He has divinely inspired his word. And next week, we'll look at two other reasons why God's word is awesome in its authority. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please help us to obey your word by loving it, by living it, by studying it, by memorizing it, by meditating on it, by living out the truths of your word, by grace, by faith, we pray. In Jesus' name.